The Sun Never Sets is an exhibition of thoughtful and reflective paintings by London-based artist Matthew Krishnu, which is on at MAC Birmingham until Sunday, the 10th of March. I met up with the artist to explore the dreamlike works, consider his take on growing up in the Bangladesh capital, and I got an in-depth guide to two of the exhibition's featured works. Okay, so I'm here with Matthew Krishnu, and we're here at the MAC, very excitedly, just before the exhibition opens. And the exhibition is The Sun Never Sets, which is a very kind of enigmatic title. And let's perhaps start, Matthew, with explaining some of the themes and some of the things you're exploring. It's kind of, I guess, starts with childhood.
Yeah, the paintings are broadly based on two key figures, myself and my brother, as boys, young boys, growing up in Bangladesh. And in a way, the whole exhibition is kind of a process of world building, where they're the main characters, and then the show takes you on a journey through some of the places they've been to, the landscape, the atmosphere, and also the relationship with adults in some of the paintings. The title, The Sun Never Sets, relates broadly to the theme of, it comes from an old phrase, that the sun never sets on the British Empire. And so in a way there are like the shadows of empire, if you like, in the paintings as well. There are scenes of a whole series of work called Mission, which involves the missionaries that lived in Bangladesh. And occasionally you'll come across a tourist, say, a European tourist. And I guess the whole show is setting up this relationship between the main characters and who kind of stands out from it, who's different from it.
And you yourself, I think, spent 11 years of your childhood in Bangladesh.
That's right.
Your parents kind of went there to learn and not become preachers, but do sort of theological study, is that right?
Yeah, let's take it right back to the beginning. I was born in Bradford, and so, you know, born British, my father's a British man, and my mother's from India. My mother's from India, West Bengal, and both of them had undertaken training around theological training, basically, in Birmingham, actually. And then they got work in Bangladesh, but we didn't have family there. And I guess that's kind of what I mean about the bond that I had with my brother, having this mixed heritage, having this sort of British heritage, but still, because I was a baby when we moved to Bangladesh, it was home. And in a way, the two of us formed this really strong relationship. Everything is looked at through that lens, I guess. You know, my father was the foreigner, being this white Englishman in Bangladesh, and a priest, no less, a Christian priest, but then would be going to services of, you know, Bangladeshi Christians. And I guess the paintings are all about bringing the viewer, any visitor to the gallery, into some of these stories, in a way. It's storytelling. It's almost like if I were to write a novel or make a film about these times, I'd have key characters and I'd have these different scenarios. And in a way, I'm just doing that with oil paint.
Now, you mentioned that there's an imperial reference, if you like, throughout. And I wonder if there's a sort of personal nostalgia for yourself in terms of looking back at a time when perhaps you perceive things were golden and a kind of wondrous time in your life, when maybe, perhaps, you know, because of your age and your development, you perhaps didn't see all the kind of sharp edges of things.
I think I love the title, The Sun Never Sets, because it's quite open. Yeah, it refers to that imperial side, but then there's also that sense of when you're young, it feels like when you're young and you're outdoors and you're playing with people you love, it's like the sun never sets. It's like you could be out all day and it feels like an eternity. So there's that. And then there's also the idea that when you paint an image, you're kind of freezing people in paint. You know, the sun never sets in a painting. It's not like a film where you've got time passing. So it's also about freezing these memories, these experiences, and kind of making them eternal. What I would say, though, is it's not so much nostalgia, because I find the subjects as well, there's often kind of an edge to them. I mean, the boys, for a start, don't always look particularly happy. They're in the moment, But, you know, in one of the paintings, there are two boys posing in front of the skeleton of an animal. In others, they might be high up in a tree or on a quite rickety boat. You know, they might be using bows and arrows, firing them. You know, there's a machete in one painting. I guess it's also about sometimes the shadow side of childhood, that it's not always a safe space, you know, that actually feels a little vulnerable. So I'd say it's world building more than golden age, and a world building that's built around some of the complications as well of childhood.
Now, when folks first come to your work, I think they're perhaps hit by a kind of simplicity, if you like, in terms of there's a very sort of accessible, readily kind of recognised image or scene. But that's deceptive, I think, in some ways, because as you said, you know, the boys in the pictures aren't always happy. But when you sort of explore and immerse yourself in the particular scene or particular piece, there are lots of intricate things going on, aren't there? There are lots of, I think you call them complexities.
Yeah, I mean, I spend a lot of time thinking about the composition of a painting. Once I've got, broadly speaking, the composition in mind, then it's questions of scale as well. And that's a big part of it for the visitor experience, the viewer experience, is their relationship. For instance, there's a painting of a swimming pool with just one small figure, just the head and shoulders of a boy peering out of a swimming pool. And it looks like an evening scene. And there's a vulnerability, you know, because it's one figure, it's really small. And then next to it in the exhibition, there's one of these two boys up a tree, and they're higher than the sort of tallest visitor to the exhibition. So you're forced to look up at the two boys. And I think there's one thing about constructing what's within the picture plane, if you like, what's in the composition in terms of, you know, creating these things that I don't necessarily have an answer. I'll put things in, you know, and leave it quite open to the viewer to work out. But then there's also the relationship of the paintings, just in terms of how big they are or small they are in relation to the viewer. And I think all of it relates to the history of painting that I'm always looking at. And, you know, if I paint a scene with a religion in it, I'm thinking about all these Western paintings, you know, whether in Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci, which are essentially religious paintings, but they're always talked about just in terms of art history. But then when I paint religion, I'm not making religious paintings, I'm kind of making a painting about religion in this really specific context. So I'm constantly referring, you know, in the paintings, there are often references to other painters. And I think for me, the fundamental simplification, I think, is often a kind of a difficult thing, because you have to stop at the right point. Because if you get too far in, it starts looking, you know, a lot of these paintings are based on photographs, but I don't want to make photorealist paintings. I also don't want to make paintings that look too much like specific people. I want them to be quite open. So for those reasons, I keep them as simple as I can, but as complex as they need as well.
Now, the exhibition here at MAC is on till 10th of March, and excitedly, in parallel to that, there's an exhibition, A Murder of Crows, at the Icon Gallery in Birmingham. Let's talk a little bit about that. People will think, oh, murder, that's quite, you know, something dastardly is afoot, but A Murder of Crows is the kind of collective noun, isn't it, for a group of crows. Tell us about what the sort of the significance of the crow is.
Yeah, it's the most famous collective noun. I think you also sometimes hear of a horde of crows or even a wake of crows, but they're all pretty sinister. And the crows, I must have, you know what, actually my first crows were painted in Birmingham way back, because I was based in Birmingham 2001 till 2005. And I've always loved just the crow as a mythical symbol, if you like. I mean, certainly in my childhood in Bangladesh, you'd hear and see crows everywhere. You know, it's a constant cacophony of crows, and they'd be picking in the rubbish dumps and, you know, picking out old gizzards and things. As a child, you'd be just watching watching crows wherever you are. And of course, the crows I'm painting are British crows, and in a way that's another window. It's like this thing, it triggers kind of a memory or an atmosphere for me. But then also at university I was reading Ted Hughes's book, Crow, wonderful poems. And then the crows have all these history, you know, Edgar Allan Poe's crow, the raven, then there's Gauguin did a famous painting, Nevermore, with a raven in it. And of all other creatures, apart from humans, crows are my next favourite to paint. And I've been painting them, you know, there was a show at the Custard Factory in Birmingham, I think, in 2005 called Crow. And since about 2012, around the same time as this series, I've been doing these very small-scale crows. They're all small. They're all smaller than an actual crow. They're all in oil paint, usually a lot more thickly painted than my normal paintings. And they're based on photos, not from albums, but photos that I'll take on my iPhone. So you usually get a little silhouette, just a shape of a crow, so you can really invent them for the paintings. And essentially, the director of the Icon Gallery visited this show, The Sun Never Sets, in its first iteration in Huddersfield Art Gallery with me in August. And, you know, obviously, their main gallery's been programmed 2-3 years in advance, and he thought, I love your crows. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could do a sort of building takeover for a couple of months while you have the show on at the Mac? And it was inspired because essentially from the moment you get to the front entrance of the Icon Gallery, there's a crow posted just by the door, you know, just out of reach, just, you know, as crows are, they're just around. And we've actually fitted 39 crows, over 36 crows, around the ground floor of the gallery, and they're, you know, all the way up to the entrance to the toilets, you can spot crows sort of ominously watching you. There's something sinister about them. And it was a joy to install and put them in.
Excellent. Now, there are two pieces of work which are on loan from the Arts Council Collection and the South Bank Centre in London. We'll talk about those now. Matthew, let's start with this first piece, which is called Skeleton, and you referred to it earlier on as a fairly important piece, I think.
That's right. It was one of the first large-scale ones that I wanted to make as part of this series, and at the time it was the biggest painting I'd made. It's, 2 meters by 1.5 meter, 2 meters wide, 1.5 meters tall, and it's in the centre of it. It's got the two boys, and they're standing in something of a confrontational pose, both in shorts and t-shirts, and they're wearing flip-flops. But then right in front of them, you know, literally a few centimetres away from their feet, there's this massive 2-meter-long carcass. And it's got back legs and it's got horns, but it's missing front legs. So often, like, children will come in and they'll say, is it a dinosaur? Is it a kangaroo? But in fact, it was the skeleton of a cow. And this we came across beside a river in a place called Mymensingh in Bangladesh. And there'd been some terrible floods. This is in 1988. And there were some really, like, internationally known about floods in Bangladesh. And so you can imagine the scene that my brother and I came across, which was carcass after carcass after carcass of cattle, which had been washed off from local farms and then drowned and washed up on the banks of this river. And there were vultures everywhere pecking at the bones. And my brother and I, being the type we were, you know, we took back like a skull and some bones. And so I had this really vivid sense of it. But you see in the background there are palm trees. It's a really lush scene. But the skeleton itself, it's kind of dripping paint, almost like the decay of a body into the earth. And the whole thing has that sense of youth, death and life all in it.
First time I saw this painting, I thought two things. I thought, one, there's a sense of fear about it. Like, you know, there's two young lads who've discovered something they don't know whether they should have, or perhaps they should be there in the first place. But then there's pride. You mentioned the kind of confrontational sort of, you know, stance. There's an element of, look what we found, you know, it's that kind of mix.
Absolutely, and a lot of my paintings are about the gaze of the people in the picture, where they're looking directly at you or looking away from you, and both these boys are looking directly out at you, but you can't fully make out their eyes. It's more like the shadows of their eye sockets. And there's something as well in their poses. The older boy, that's my older brother, has his arms sort of crossed around him in quite a casual way. And there's this sense of, yeah, almost like bravado, I guess, particularly in the older one's stance.
Let's move on to the other piece that's on loan from Arts Council and Southbank Centre. This one is called, I think, The Ordination. Is that right?
That's right. It's called Ordination. Often I like just a simple one-word title. It's the last thing that I give to a painting. And it's a painting of, in fact, 14 people in total. It's got 8 adults and 6 children, 3 girls on one side, 3 boys on the other side. And it's set up partly inspired by, you know, old master paintings, you know, in terms of the compositions, which would often be a religious scene with lots of people and some kind of arrangement. And I spent a lot of time working out exactly where the people would go. And also their expressions. In the very centre, underneath a cross, there's a European man. He's got a particularly pink kind of face and skin, standing out from all the others who are of Bangladeshi origin. And that European man, for me, as a viewer, just looks slightly odd, slightly out of place, and he's actually leaning over. He's dressed in a cassock and religious robes, and he's leaning over another man who's kneeling in front of him, holding a book, we assume a Bible, and lifting him up in a way as if to ordain him. And for me, this painting is quite complex because it's about race in a way, and it's also about the history of, you know, missionaries, but there is also this sense of everyone working together. It's also one man in a way caressing another, sort of, you know, bringing him into the church, ordaining him, and they're all dressed up. And for me, you see, this is the kind of constructed role play of the adult world, which then you've got in contrast to those two boys and that raw outdoor experience with the skeleton. And that's why they're also very near each other as well. They don't just exist in isolation. There's meant to be a dialogue between them. And of course, the other thing that stitches it all together is that man's my father as well, who's the priest of the Church of Bangladesh.
Well, the exhibition The Sun Never Sets is here on the first floor gallery at MAC till the 10th of March, so folks can come in for free and have a look around at your amazing pieces of art. They can also go to the Icon Gallery in Birmingham and see The Murder of Crows in the same time span, as it were.
And also there's going to be one of my paintings called Boy and Mask at Birmingham Museum and Art Gallery from the 26th of January until May, and that's another work in the Arts Council collection, which has been selected by an artist called Rachel McLean, who curates a show called Too Cute, Sweet is About to Become Sinister. So that's as well going to be on at the same time as these two shows.
Matthew, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks for your time. Thanks for showing me around.
Great. Thanks very much, James.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
There'll be an artist talk and tour on Thursday, the 21st of February at 6 p.m. in the gallery at MAC Birmingham. The exhibition runs until the 10th of March, and more information can be found at macbirmingham.co.uk.